Well, first of all, I'd like to wish the fathers present Happy Father's Day. Those of you who are already fathers, those of you who are fathers in waiting. I know there's some of those around here this evening as well. I'd like to speak about Father's Day for just a minute and then begin a reflection on today's scripture readings. When God speaks to us about his relationship with us, he always uses language from our own lives that can help us to understand. We know that God is not a male, nor is God a female. But when God speaks to us about his relationship with us, he uses family language, telling us that he is our father. The main prayer of Christians, the first prayer of Christians, the only prayer that Jesus actually taught us, is a prayer that begins with the words, "Our Father." So this image of God is somehow closely related to our personal understanding of what it means to be a father. So you can understand by that being a father, a good father, is a very important thing. Because if you're not a good father and your children pray this prayer, their image of God is somehow skewed. So in some ways, the fathers of our family have the greatest responsibility when it comes to the formation, the religious formation of their children. Those of you who come to this Sunday night Mass know from my other reflections that religious practice in families depends most of all on the religious practice of fathers. The sociological studies that have been done show that if a mother goes to Mass every Sunday, but the father doesn't, it's likely that in the future, neither their daughters nor their sons will go to Mass. But if the father goes to Mass, even if the mother doesn't, it's much more likely that the children, whether they're girls or boys, will become regular churchgoers. Now, that's kind of contrary to our natural intuition, isn't it? Because we generally think that women are the ones who form religious practice in our families. But that's not what the statistics show us. So fathers, you have a very important role in the religious formation of your children. So take that responsibility seriously. But it's not only in regards to religious practice that fathers are important. It's fathers are important for other things. I have an article here, and I'd like to read to you some of the headlines. In 1960, only 10% of children were raised without fathers in the home. Today, 40% of children are raised without the father in the home. Now, some may think that makes no difference, but here's some other things they've discovered in their studies. This is according to science. This is not a study of the church, but a sociological study. The headlines: children with fathers do better in school. Children without fathers are more likely to do jail time. Children with fathers are less likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. Children without fathers are more likely to be sexually active as teenagers. And this is an interesting one. Children without fathers are more likely to be obese. Can you imagine? I mean, that's kind of an interesting discovery. There's more. Children with fathers get more roughhousing, and roughhousing makes kids awesome. You know, children play with their fathers. In some ways, it says here, they develop an ability to be resilient, to be smart, to be moral, and to be socially adept. Just that kind of casual playing relationship with fathers. Children with fathers are more likely to have larger vocabularies. Children with fathers are more likely to be encouraged to take healthy risks in their lives. And children with fathers gain many additional benefits to health and happiness, an enhanced capacity to play, more enjoyment of vacations, greater likelihood of being able to use humor as a healthy coping mechanism, better adjustment to and contentment with life after retirement, less anxiety and fewer physical and mental symptoms under stress in young adulthood. Boy, you fathers make a big difference. So take your responsibilities seriously. You know, God the Father, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, will help you be good fathers if you ask for his help. So happy Father's Day. We'll have a blessing for the fathers who are present at the end of Mass. And please pray for your fathers, whether they're living or deceased, as an act of gratitude for the gift of life and their own fatherly care for us. Now, we know there are a lot of what they refer to today as father wounds in the lives of both men and women. So we also have to be willing to forgive our fathers for their mistakes, even if they made serious mistakes. We should love them and care for them and pray for them. So that's Father's Day. Let's look at today's scripture readings. As is always the case, we have to understand context in order to understand the reading. Our first reading today is a reading that will help us understand today's gospel. And it's from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. And the context is that the Jewish people have been led out of the Holy Land as slaves in Babylon. They refer to it as the Babylonian captivity. And the Jewish people were anxious and worried because it looked like God wasn't being faithful to the promises that he had made to them. And so God sent them the prophet Ezekiel, who used an image to talk about their future. And this is the image that he used. Thus says the Lord God, I will take from the crest of the cedar, you know, a cedar tree, from its topmost branches, tear off a tender shoot and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. The mountain they're referring to here is Mount Zion, which is where Jerusalem was built. It shall put forth branches and bear fruit and become a majestic cedar. You know, what the prophet is saying here is, you know, it looks like things are falling apart. There's disaster. But even in the context of that disaster, God is at work. And he'll take this tiny tip of a tree, plant it, and it will grow into a majestic cedar. And sometimes God uses little tiny things to do great things. And if we're at a moment in our lives where things seem to be a disaster and falling apart, it's important for us to have hope and trust that God will keep his promises, even if that promise seems very, very small because of our painful experiences. Now, that reading was chosen because of today's gospel, where Jesus once again uses the image of something small that's going to become something great. And for us to understand this, we have to understand a basic concept. When Jesus began his preaching, this is true in three of the four Gospels, the sermon that he gave was a very simple and short one. He said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. So repentance and the kingdom of God are central to Jesus' teaching. I think we know what repentance means, right? It means to turn away from our sins. But what does it mean when Jesus uses the word kingdom of God? We sometimes misunderstand that. Many of us, at least my generation, think when we hear that word kingdom of God, think of life after death. That's when we'll enter into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. But that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus, by the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, Jesus meant that place in our personal lives, or in the lives of our families, or the lives of the broader community, where God is in charge, where God is the king, where God reigns. So whenever God is reigning in our lives or in the world, that is the presence of the kingdom of God. And so what it means to be a disciple, and all of us here want to be disciples, is that we will work through whatever means that God has given us to promote his kingdom, to promote his reign. We want to live under the reign of God, right? And we want to bring that kingdom of God to all the corners of our life, personal and private. And Jesus uses parables to explain things about the kingdom of God. You know, a parable is a comparative story where Jesus uses an image, a creative image, about something we are familiar with to help us understand something that we might not be familiar with. So the kingdom of God is the beginning of so many of the parables. And we have two parables that Jesus tells us in today's gospel that talk about the reign of God. Okay? The first one, Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all, the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of his own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear." Now, what does that mean? This is like the kingdom of God. Well, it means two things. In this parable, human beings have a role. The farmer scatters a seed, but then he goes to bed and doesn't do anything else. And yet the kingdom of God begins to grow until it brings forth the full harvest. So we have a role in bringing out the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God has a force of its own because it's God's kingdom, right? And it doesn't depend on us. The kingdom of God is a gift. And our role when it comes to a gift from God is to receive the gift. So we don't create the kingdom of God. God does that work himself. But you and I have a role, and that role is to scatter the seed. So how might we scatter the seed? Now, an important part of being a Christian is hearing. You know, Jesus tells parables. At the end of today's gospel, it says something interesting. It says, "With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, and they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private." So, you know, for us to enter into the kingdom of God, we have to be listeners. We have to listen to the word of God, and we have to listen to it with attention and listen to it seriously. So do you do that? You know, are you trying to be attentive to the seeds of his kingdom that God wants to plant in your lives and in the lives of your families? You know, if you don't pay attention, there's a chance you'll miss, and the kingdom of God won't grow as God wants it to grow. And it says here at the end of the gospel that Jesus, when people didn't understand his parables, it says Jesus explained everything to them in private. And so if we don't understand what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be part of the kingdom of God, we should enter into a private discussion with Jesus about it, which is what we call prayer, right? You know, prayer is the place in our lives where we have dialogue with God. Prayer is not simply saying memorized prayers that we've learned as children, although that might be helpful for some of us. But prayer is finding a place in our lives, a space in our lives, where we have a discussion with God about the kingdom of heaven, how to be a serious disciple, what are the demands of the gospel in our own lives. So you have to be a woman or a man of prayer if you're going to give the kingdom of God a chance to grow in your lives. And that begins with serious, attentive listening. Listening to the word of God as it comes to us in Scripture, for example. So we have to have space. I mean, and there's no, we can't listen if things are noisy, right? We can't hear anything if our lives are just full of noise. So we have to find space in our lives for quiet and reflection in order for us to receive the gift of the kingdom of God, which is God's reign over us in our personal lives. So that's the first parable, the first story that Jesus told. Here's a second one. And in this parable, Jesus uses what we refer to as hyperbole, which is a figure of speech. Hyperbole is exaggerated language to make a point. You know, for example, it seems like our president uses that a lot. Exaggerated language, you know. He's the source of everything in the world, you know. But we do it all the time. You know, if we are excited about something, we sometimes make promises we don't really mean, but people know it because they know we're using exaggerated language. Sometimes when we're mad at somebody, we say to them, "I hate you." We don't really hate them, we're just upset with them. And people know that we sometimes use exaggerated language to make a point. Well, anyway, Jesus uses exaggerated language in this story. So let's look at the story. To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? You know, the place where God's reign takes place. Or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that, when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants. That's the story. What does it mean? Well, I think most of us have probably seen mustard seeds, at least in some of that kind of rougher mustard, you know, the little spots, little dark spots in the mustard. Those are mustard seeds that haven't been crushed yet. And they're not big, but they're not really very small. And it isn't true that they're the smallest of seeds. There are many, many seeds that are much smaller than that. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a mustard plant. Some years ago, I was invited to do confirmations in Stuttgart, Germany, for the Army, because one of my priests was the chaplain in the Army, and he asked me to come and do the confirmations. And I flew into Germany in May, or in June, and the fields around the airport were just yellow as can be, filled with these yellow plants that were mustard plants. They must make lots of mustard in Germany. But mustard plants aren't any higher than this. You know, they're just 1 or 2 feet high. So they're not the largest of plants or anything like a tree. So when Jesus was telling this parable, he knew that, and everybody else knew that. He was using exaggerated language to make the point. And the point is this: that God can take the tiniest kind of thing, and that can be transformed into something wonderful. And it's important for us, especially if we are struggling, to understand and have confidence in the fact that even a little bit of something can be transformative in our lives and in the life of our community or our family. Let's use some examples about that. You know, people came to church tonight, and people would probably think that the most influential person at Mass would probably be the bishop, because he sits in the big chair and he's the one who talks a lot and gives the homily. But that isn't always the case. You know, perhaps when someone came into the church this evening that was feeling bad, one of you was kind and said hello and welcomed that person. And somehow that welcome, those kind words, were transformative, and that person entered into the worship together tonight in a way that that woman or that man wouldn't have entered into worship before, simply because of the kindness that you showed, the simple kindness. Sometimes that can be much more effective than what we think are important things. So we have to be attentive to the little things in terms of our relationships with one another. You know, one of the things that's embarrassing when you become a preacher is how little your homilies make a difference in people's lives. You know, but somehow God uses your homilies to be effective. And there have been many times when I've preached when people afterwards tell me how wonderful it was that I said this or that, And I didn't say that at all. But somehow God had used my words to touch the lives of that person. Not me, but the words that I used, God used them in his own way, influence the lives of others. Because the kingdom of God isn't in our hands, right? It's a gift that we receive. And God uses the small gifts of our availability to him to deeply impress and mark the lives of other people. So God can use small things to do great things. And it's important for us, because if we're depressed and we need to be consoled, it's important to understand that. And if we're pushers and shovers, parables like this tell us that we shouldn't take ourselves so seriously, because it's all in the hands of God, from whom every good gift comes. So, do you want to be part of the kingdom of God? Do you want to be instruments of his kingdom in the lives of your family, in the lives of others? Well, it's important to be listeners and to trust God's amazing power to accomplish great things with very little, and that part of that very little is ourselves, right? May God truly transform us. And in a very special way, may God transform the fathers who are present tonight so that they can clearly be the loving presence of God the Father in the lives of their families.